The Burt Show.
All right, so I have heard through the grapevine that a girl of a friend of mine is doing something that I think is really kind of dangerous. I understand why she's doing it because of past history, but I think she is putting herself and she is putting the dudes that she is going out with in danger, okay? So she has a history, an odd history, of dating guys that have an aggressive behavior, like not violent necessarily, just jealous, toxic, possessive dudes.
Okay.
And she can't really understand why it's happening, but it's happening so often that it is sort of, for whatever reason, her type. Now, you don't know this when you go into the relationship, but she finds out, and all of them have like the same thing in common where they are just overly protective, aggressive, and jealous. And it has gotten to a point, and it's gotten so serious in some of these relationships that she is really gun shy, that she just doesn't have the right antenna to be able to identify it anymore. So her way of handling it now is on a first or second date when she's out with the dude, she will purposely flirt with other guys to see what his reaction is going to be to the guy and to her while they are out.
That feels so
dangerous to me.
I don't think it's a really healthy way to kick off a relationship either.
Now, I know where she's coming from.
I get it.
I can see where she's coming from. She's got some baggage here. So her idea is, look, let me kind of test this guy without him even being known, without him knowing that he's being tested. And at least I can save myself time in the long run.
Well, I don't even see what the win would be there, because like you're hoping that the guy would just not care and that would be him passing the test if he kind of just was like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, just sit with him in traffic for like an hour and see what happens. That to me is the better option.
Yeah, I don't know. Now that you mention it, you are kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if you don't do anything about it at all, maybe she's going to, I think, and again, I don't know her. That if you're going to err here, she would rather you err on the side of not doing anything at all and just taking the high road. I don't think she's going to interpret that as, oh, this guy doesn't have any nads at all. She just wants to make sure he's not going to be super aggressive with these dudes.
To me, it's like a lose-lose situation because you flirt with him and then he gets in his mind, oh, she's not a loyal gal. And so, like, for all she knows, he could have some kind of litmus test for testing out the women in his life to see if they're loyal. And then if he is a hothead, well, then you find out that he has anger issues. I just feel like there needs to be a better test.
I know. Yeah. I don't know how you win.
As I was looking at Cassie, I was interpreting your look like, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it. If she knows that she has a trend of always getting this kind of guy, I think this is a great way to like have them pass the litmus test. I mean, if she's flirting with somebody else in public and based on their reaction, it doesn't hurt anybody. And, you know, like you're going to find out sooner or later. So if she's in a long-term relationship with this guy and then she's like, oh my God, some guy hit on me today and he pops his lid and blows his lid and gets mad at her, I think it's a great way to weed out people early on.
Well, there's a risk here also. Like, if I'm the dude on the date and she's using this as her litmus test and I don't know that, so disrespectful to me.
Yeah.
I don't want to hang out again.
It's not the test for me. Like, you are hurting somebody. You're being disrespectful to the person you're on a date with. If I'm on a date with a guy and he's actively flirting with other women, I'm hurt.
I'm pissed.
I feel like
I just disrespected.
Most solid guys, I feel like in a situation like that, would handle it that way, where they wouldn't say anything in the moment. But in the back of my mind, I know I'm never calling you again.
Right.
Like, it's sincere.
What if it's not like outright flirting so much as just an interaction, a prolonged interaction with one other man?
Like somebody just being like having a kind conversation with somebody.
Because that would be, so I can see your point of view. And yeah, putting myself in those shoes, you're right. I would feel the same way. I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
I almost swore. But I think also if it's the kind of person who's going to get angry quickly, if you're like, you're getting coffee and the barista's male and you just have a really nice smiley conversation that's not flirty and they get annoyed at that, that's the red flag.
That's a really good point. Because dudes that I know that are really jealous and possessive will see any interaction between her and him as an opportunity to be jealous. So if it's a quote unquote innocent conversation about whatever and he's still upset about that, then I think you're spot on. Hey, Tracy, thank you for calling. I love when you guys call when I don't give out the phone number. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. What's up?
Oh, that's so funny. Good morning. Yes, I know the phone number by heart. So, I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist, but it seems to me like she needs that attention. And, of course, it is a red flag when someone is aggressive or overly protective, but it's almost like she needs that validation to feel secure with someone. But I don't understand why you would ever put any man in that situation where he has to, you know, feel bad about himself. You're flirting with someone else on the first or second date. That's an awful feeling.
Yeah.
Like, she's a huge red flag.
Yeah, I feel like she's spending a lot of time focusing on the dude's reaction and not focusing enough time on why she seems to be picking the same type of guy that has the same problem over and over and over again.
Bingo.
Boom.
The Burt Show.
There are some situations that we debated where you're not exactly sure if you're supposed to leave a tip or not, right? Like, if you're at Starbucks and they just give you coffee, are you supposed to leave a tip in a case like that?
Yeah.
You are. All right, just going back there, pouring up my cup with Joe and then giving it to me. You're saying no.
I don't go to Starbucks often, but I haven't left a tip when I did. I didn't know I should.
Is it bad if I don't? I'm afraid to admit to it.
Just did.
When they turn the screen around and it has the percentages, I always, you know, just because it's like, in all sincerity, order a cappuccino somewhere. It's like $1.25 tip or something like that. And I'm like, it's fine.
Kristen and I have a friend that when they turn that screen around, just draws a penis. And
I know who you're talking about.
And the people think that he tipped, but he didn't. He just drew a penis. Not where I'm going with this, though.
Okay.
So tell me if this is appropriate or not, because this is not a situation that I've ever heard of before.
I went shopping for my wedding dress like a week and a half ago, and I ended up finding my dress at the first store that I went to. When I went to go pay, they flipped their little iPad around, and it asked for a tip.
Huh?
I did not expect to have to, like, tip buying a wedding dress. So I'm just kind of like standing there trying to do math in my head because the dress is already expensive, right? And then like a 10% on like a $1,500, $2,000 dress is like another $200.
So do women tip on wedding dresses?
So I found this out when I went wedding dress shopping with my friend and I was flabbergasted because we just went to like a normal wedding dress shop. It wasn't like something crazy high end like Kleinfeld, and she got her dress and I think it was like a $600 dress or something. And she came back with the receipt after buying it. She goes, "You guys, there was a 30% service charge."
Oh.
So you're paying not only $600 for this dress that you think you're getting a great deal on, because it wasn't consignment, but it was like a sample sale. And she was like, "I just paid nearly 50% just to buy my dress."
Let me get your phone number out real quick. If you're in this industry, is this becoming standard? 1-855-BURTCHA?
Now, I mean, my husband and I have been together forever, but I just got married like 6 years ago. And that was not the case that I recall, or I'm sure I wouldn't have missed that service charge on my receipt. But now that's getting to the point, like, company, pay your employees. Like, they're supposed to get commission off the dresses from the company. Like, that's asinine to me.
Is that how wedding dresses work? Like, when you're in there and they're helping you, they get a commission if you purchase the dress?
I
think it depends on the store and how the store operates, but tipping's out of control. I just saw a story come out of the grocery checkout, not like an Instacart, not delivery, just regular checkout, and they flip the screen for a tip based on the grocery bill.
All you gotta do is draw a penis.
What?
Yep. I'm with Kristen. Like, pay your employees.
Yes.
Or roll the costs into the cost of the product, because I think it's unfair to ask for a tip. I'll pay a higher cost if you need that to fund your employees.
But let me draw two things together here, because this sort of doesn't make any sense to me. If you're going to Starbucks and all they're doing is turning around.
Well, I don't go there. I go to Dunkin', but whatever.
Whatever you want to go. and they are turning around. They're filling your cup up with coffee and you're still giving them a tip. Now you walk into a place that's selling wedding dresses and there she is to help you out. She is listening to the style that you want. She's bringing you all sorts of dresses and stuff like that. And she's there while you're coming in and coming out of the dressing room. Let's say you do purchase there. It makes sense to me, at least from the outside looking in, that you would tip on something like that.
Well, I get what you're saying as far as like the input versus output and the level of attention and detail and care. But one's going to be a dollar and another's going to be like maybe a couple hundred dollars. And again, like
I don't want to come down on the employees. I want to come down on these companies and these corporations. Like, it should not be the consumer's responsibility. It should be your responsibility to pay your employees what they deserve to be paid.
What do you think this is, Europe?
It would be nice.
Well, this is real life, and this is America, okay? Hey, Janet, you own a bridal shop.
Yes, I do, in Charleston, South Carolina.
All right, what's the name of it?
A Gown Boutique of Charleston.
All right, you better not say something stupid now.
I'm really putting myself out there.
All right, so what is the standard now for wedding? Are you supposed to tip?
Well, you know what? It's definitely been something that we've seen come up in the last, like, maybe 2 years. And honestly, at my store, we were having people wanting to tip my stylist, but didn't have cash with them. So what we've done is we've just added it to, like, our, you know, our checkout, like Clover, whatever you use, like Square. And we have options of, like, other, or we have $50, $100, $200. And honestly, my thought was, our girls spend 2 hours with these brides and give them the most amazing service. And if I'm being asked to tip at my ice cream store where they're paid to scoop ice cream, I definitely think a 2 hour like private experience where they are getting treated like a queen for a day is worth it.
That does make some sense to me, but let's go ahead and let's argue Kristen's point that you should be paying your employees more right now rather than relying on the tips.
Well, they get paid and they get paid commission. She was right. I think it's more like this is just like an extra. They don't count on it for their pay, but it's just like a thank you for, you know, they're going to stores where they're not even getting help putting in the dresses. And so it's just a thank you. We don't expect it at all. Like, it's just there and there's like bypass it. We make it really like, hey, don't worry. Just pass that. No worries. So we're not like expecting it, but it's just a nice thank you if someone wants to.
All right. To me, that makes sense. If you just want to throw a little thank you their way.
Like if you had the most incredible experience ever.
Yeah, once you say yes to the dress.
For me, I think it's like having the tipping screen puts a pressure on you that you're supposed to. Whereas if I'm in a situation like that, I'll be like, what's your Venmo? And I'll Venmo you a tip. It feels for me, and I can't argue, she's the business owner. You do what you want. And it's a great idea. She's looking after her staff, but for me, it's more like buying a $600 to $1,000, whatever, $2,000 wedding dress. I expect that service to be included in the product. That is part of me going to you, and instead of ordering it for cheaper online somewhere where it'll just be shipped direct.
I see.
And then you're paying the seamstress, and you might be tipping on the tailoring on top of that. Whereas when I look at something like a food delivery service or coffee, I'm like, I could do this myself. I'm too lazy. I'm going to tip you because you are working a grueling job where people probably yell at you and you're probably making minimum wage or less if you're in the restaurant industry. So you know what? Let me try and make your day a little bit better.
You just hit the nail on the head.
Hey, Katie. Good morning.
Good morning.
What you got?
So I personally have not been in this situation, but my mom owned her own bridal shop for many, 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 many years. She made wedding dresses. She sold pre-made dresses. Did alterations, and I can personally say at 35 years old, I have never seen anybody tip for a wedding dress service. Now, the other thing too, that there's two things. Number one, credit card machines nowadays come standard with the tip option on them, and you cannot take it off. There is no way to get rid of that option. So a lot of these places that you go, you're like, why am I having to tip? It's not necessarily you're having to tip. It's just they can't take that option off their credit card machine.
I see. I gotcha. All right. I appreciate you calling. What a great call.
If you do want to tip, just a heads up to all the listeners, don't tip on your credit card. I don't care whether you're at a restaurant, whether you are getting service somewhere else. Do not tip on your credit card because that server, the person who's giving you services, they ultimately get taxed on that.
Gotcha.
Whereas cash, Venmo, Cash App, they're not going to get taxed on that.
Thank you, Nicole. Appreciate you calling. Thank you.
Yep.
Messy Mikey, one of our producers, phone screener, back in studio this morning, and he and a bunch of his friends are going through a whole bunch of stress right now. What's going on, my man?
That's right.
That's right.
I missed that voice.
Well, I'll tell you this. We're in some trouble. I feel like I'm about to get eaten alive by you guys. But here's the dealio, is that one of my friends, a group of my friends, went out to a beer joint one night. One of them had a long-term girlfriend has. He started kissing ladies he knew in high school.
When you say kissing, like, oh, hey, it's so good to see you.
Or, no, no.
Oh, I'm hammered.
No Italian. Yeah, okay. Hammered.
He went right in.
Right in.
And he's got a girlfriend that is within your friend circle, so everybody knows her well?
Or? No, not everyone knows her well. I don't know her well, but he does have a girlfriend.
Does he know her well?
Apparently not well enough.
She doesn't know him well. But that's not the point. This is about me.
Okay.
So he goes out kissing these ladies. Somehow, everyone else with girlfriends in the group is now in trouble because they say birds of a feather flock together.
Oh, you are the company you keep.
Oh, I disagree.
I don't know about all that.
You're going to back me up?
I am going to back you up.
Thank you.
I am too.
Thank you. All right, birds of a feather do not flock to leather.
Birds of a feather do not.
Flock to leather. No, I don't even know what that means. My friend did something stupid. I condemn him. I'll say nothing to him. I'll say nothing to her. Go ahead.
No, I'm not
finished. She's chomping at the bit.
No,
it's like,
no.
What is he, guilty by association because he's not got a friend that's messing around?
Absolutely. Women all the time get held accountable for men's actions. I'm not here for that. I'm not here for you being held accountable for your friend's actions. And he's a grown-ass man. I don't even think that, because I'm sitting here thinking, like, should you have intervened in the club? Like, do you have a responsibility to your homeboy that if you see him kissing, like, not one, but multiple, like, high school friends when he has a long-term girlfriend, do you pull him aside and be like, bro, what are you doing?
So I've seen men and women handle this very differently, okay? So when a woman is with a group of girls and one of them is doing something that they shouldn't be doing, it is like SEAL Team 6. You got to get them out. You got to extract, right? Mm-hmm. No matter what. When a guy is doing it, when you're around a whole bunch of other dudes, the dude will say to his friend, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? And the drunk friend will go, I don't know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. And then the dudes are hands off.
Gotcha.
That's it.
Yeah.
You get one warning
that
shot.
That is it. Yep.
Women extract. Dudes are just like, we're gonna make this right.
Right.
We're going to mention it, but then you're on your own.
Yo.
How did your girlfriend find out about your friend's actions? Like, were you guys all out in a group?
No, so I wasn't even there. And I think that would be, I think that would be appropriate for me in the moment to say something to him. Like, are you making good decisions, my friend? But no, we weren't there. You know, word gets around. Everyone starts talking after they get back.
Of course.
And one thing leads to another. I don't know. My lady's pretty understanding. She's not actually angry at me. My other friend is actually in, like, serious trouble.
Because you guys didn't, like, handle it like women would? Like, extract them out of there?
Michael wasn't even there.
Yeah,
or
no.
The others.
Not that. Not even that. It's just that your friend is cheating on his girlfriend, so that means that you're going to do it, too. Somehow.
Oh, that's silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My friend's girlfriend feels that way. That because one of the guys in the group had done it, then obviously I'm dating a guy who would do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's okay in our group, which I don't think it is. It's just we're not going to go chastising each other.
Right.
Yeah, you can't be held accountable for something you weren't even there for. It'd be different.
Of course
not. It'd be different if you had been there and just did nothing. Then as your girlfriend, I'd be like, well, why didn't you step in? Why didn't you say something? But if you're not there, you can't do anything.
Well, we have taken this before on the show, though, where a woman says, look, there's a guy in the group that clearly is messing around on his wife. I don't want you hanging out with that guy. And has demanded that her man get out of that circle. So this is not the first time we've kind of heard of this.
I don't agree with it, but I have seen it. I've seen it a lot. I've even seen it go the other way. Like if somebody in the group gets married or something like that, then it kind of influences your relationship in a way where the woman is like, well, what are you waiting for since they're married? So sometimes the other couples in your friend group, whatever happens with them, it can affect your relationship in a weird way.
Yeah, I think that's true. You guys are being a lot more supportive than I thought. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Feels good.
Yeah, I think you're in the clear here.
It's not on you.
All right.
All right.
The Burt Show.
Cheaters, you're leaving a digital footprint everywhere.
Everywhere!
It's not like it was back in the day in the Mad Men years of the 50s, where you could tell her that you were just going for a long lunch with everybody at work, and then you could be doing whatever you're doing all over the city. Nowadays, forget it, man. You're leaving a digital footprint everywhere. And I'm bringing this up because I just read about the sneakiest way to catch your man, a woman, that I would have never, ever thought, right? So I'm reading this article, and it specifically is focused on the digital ways that people are getting caught now. If you've got something here that is out of the ordinary, hit us up at 1-855-BIRCHOW. Three of these didn't shock me. The last one was the really surprising one that I would have never seen coming. The first suggestion was ask him for his Netflix password. Okay, it seems like it might be innocent enough, but a lot of people use the same password for everything. True. So if you get that, there are chances are pretty good that he is using that or she is using that for every other thing also, and you can sneak right in there, and that's the password. Into email, it could be anything.
That's a good one. That's a real good one.
All right. Second one was, this one is a little bit more psycho. She said that she used to secretly film her boyfriend every time he opened up his phone. So she'd be across the room and she'd be like videoing him or taking a picture. And then when he was done opening his phone, she'd put her phone away and then later just like enlarge it and see what numbers he was hitting.
Zoom in.
Okay.
That's genius.
That one takes a lot.
Hey, yep. If you're doing that, relationship's over.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, you at the end.
You got no trust, all right? Check his Apple Watch.
Yep.
Because he might be deleting messages from his phone, but if he doesn't go, or she, I should say, doesn't go on the watch and delete them there also, those are two separate things. You just can't delete them. Yeah, it's two completely different things, right?
Yeah, I've had a couple people on my podcast catch their cheating boyfriends this way.
Your computer, too. Your computer stores messages that you have to also delete individually.
That's how my friend caught her husband, because his iMessage was hooked up to his iPad. And she was sitting there on the iPad while she was pregnant. And messages were popping up.
While she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
All right. I'll get to the last one in just one second. The one that truly shocked me. Katie, good morning. How did this digital world help you catch your cheating man?
Good morning to P1 from Buffalo.
Thank you.
But so my ex-wife and I now, we were having a little bit of trouble, asked me to go away with my best friend, just girls' weekend. We have Ring cameras, four of them around our house. When you get a notification that there's motion, it goes to your phone.
Sure.
So my ex went live on the one Ring camera, so that way I wouldn't get the notification. I got the notification on the other one. Watched them bring a mistress directly to the house live.
Oh, no. Crushing. So,
Katie, as you're watching this through your Ring app, do you immediately contact her and bust her in the moment, or do you just hold on to that, like save that video and bust her later?
Oh, no. I immediately called her.
Yeah.
There was, I don't know how these women are able to, like, say grace and not say anything, do the research. Oh, not me.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. Women have this gear that dudes don't have, though, so it was a really valid question that women can hold on to this, right?
Yep.
Dude finds out, he punches a wall immediately. Women can put that thing away. And Sharita, good morning. You are on the Bird Show. How did this digital world help you catch him or her?
Good morning. So when you are using GPS, like Google Maps, or you log into your device and you have Gmail, it literally tracks everywhere that phone goes, and it sends you a timeline report. So I was able to see everywhere that phone had traveled over a lifetime. It literally goes as far back as you've had Gmail.
This is a really good one here. So explain this one again for those that want to use it one more time.
So if you go into Google Timeline, and if anyone has used, Google Maps or Gmail, it literally shows you a timeline of everywhere that phone has gone. In the past week, month, year. So I was able to see, like, oh, cute, you took a trip to New York. Nice.
The numbers don't lie. Digitally, it doesn't lie. Okay, here's the one that I never saw coming, all right? If he or she has Apple TV, check to see if he or she ticked the box that allows full access to his phone's iPhone's album to find screenshots.
I have Apple TV. I did not know that was a thing.
Yep. Let me read that again.
He's over here taking notes. Like, what'd you say?
Hey, I need to log in real quick. Hold on.
So if they have Apple TV, check to see if he or she ticked the box that allows full access to his iPhone album to find screenshots. You will see it all right there. So, nobody does that.
So no. Literally, you can sit on your couch,
pull up the smart, you know, smart TV, pull up his album and go through his pictures and see if there's anything incriminating. Yep. Right there from the comforts of your own home, yes, on your couch, looking at, like, on a big screen TV.
What happened to a good old-fashioned stakeout? You know, binoculars, right? Get your bestie, a trench coat. We used to be a proper country.
Ariel, good morning. How did this new digital world help you?
So my ex-husband and I got into an accident, and for our insurance purposes, I got him a dash cam. I told him it was just videos, not audio, just video. And he was like, cool. And I lied because I had a feeling he was cheating on me. And I was so right because he was having sex in the car with another woman.
Okay. All right. No. So you had to listen to that.
I listened to it because, like, he even told her, like, she can't hear us. It's just a video.
Wow.
So you couldn't see it because the dash cam's pointed out towards the street, but you could hear.
It was moving. It was a shaking.
Oh, no.
If the cars are rocking, don't come a-knocking.
Right. Were you like, he's not working that hard for me? When you presented him with that, did he deny it? How did that work?
Oh, he gaslighted me so bad. Yeah. He was like, I just can't believe there's no trust. Why would you go through my... Why were you spying on me? Good reason I was spying on you.
All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, too easy now. It's too easy to get caught.
The Burt Show.
All right, so what do you guys have going on in your life you want to share with the Burt Show? We love when you guys email us with the drama that's going on in your life. And in this case, her brother was coming into town, and she had no problem with him crashing at her place. None. But then dude starts adding, like, guests to the list and not even asking her about it. So she's kind of being an a-hole or not. Mo's got the email.
Hi, Burt Show. I'm a longtime listener, and I'm impressed with the advice you've given to others. So here it goes. I'm like Burt. And that I don't particularly like having people over to my house. Not that I'm a hermit. I've thrown a few parties and friends visiting from out of town have stayed with me. For the most part, though, it's me and my two parrots. In a couple of weeks, my brother, his wife, and their 16-year-old son are visiting from North Carolina and staying with me for 4 days.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I've known about this.
Mo's like, yeah,
fun,
sure.
Fun. I've known about this visit for a while. A week ago, my brother called and said they would also be bringing their dog, a lovely dog, but a huge dog. I expressed concern about the dog and my parents being together because my parents have never seen a dog before.
And time out. You don't call and tell somebody you're bringing a pet. You call somebody and ask them if it's okay if you bring your pet because they are being kind enough to let you stay with them. That's protocol.
So, yeah, we're living in a world of 2023 where common sense really needs to be discussed. Because, I mean, that seems obvious.
It does seem obvious, but people take advantage of family. So that is what it is.
My brother said, it'll all work out. And I told myself to stop being so uptight. Well, my brother just called again. This time to tell me that his wife's best friend will also be coming with them and staying at my place.
What the hell?
I've never heard of this. So now I have my brother, his wife, her best friend, and their 16-year-old son and dog staying with me. I live in a 2-bedroom, 2.5-bathroom townhouse. It's not a matchbox, but it's not huge either. I'm not sure what to do. I feel crowded out of my own house. If I'm honest with myself, I'd like for everyone to stay at a hotel. It was fine when it was just my brother, his wife, and their son, but throwing the dog and another adult? Well, I'm overwhelmed figuring out the logistics of 4 adults, 1 16-year-old, a dog, and 2 parrots.
Too many heartbeats in that house.
How can I make the best of a situation that's already causing me a ton of anxiety? Do I just grin and bear it? Is it wrong to ask my brother to stay at a hotel? He's family after all. Mm. How would you handle it?
She said it was how long?
Four days. That's a long time.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, because this whole family thing is not my strong point. In growing up, just nobody stayed at our house. And that's why I still to this day get freaked out about any guests I have in my house. But on paper, it seems to me like if it's family and it's only 4 days, can you do that for 4 days for your brother?
You can suck it up for 4 days. But I'm telling you, 4 days is a long time. They say you should have guests for the amount of time that you're able to have fish. And fish goes bad really fast.
For me, I really related to this when he said I, quote, needed to stop being so uptight, because I feel like I say that to myself all the time. But I think sometimes in those situations, you're putting the pressure on yourself to stop being so uptight when really people are just being a-holes.
To be fair, he didn't say that to her. She said that to herself.
No, I know. I say that to myself all the time.
Oh, you do. Okay.
So that's what I'm trying to say. It's like a lot of times I'm like, Abby, you just need to relax. You need to stop being so uptight. But sometimes people are just being a-holes and yeah. You're not necessarily being uptight. I do think you can do anything for 4 days. So maybe express the fact that you're like, this is a little crowded. So there's not tension when they get there. But yeah, suck it up for 4 days.
Yeah. Where's everybody going to sleep?
The couch, maybe?
It's only four days.
Okay, and again, I am really working in my personal life at not appeasing people, right? Like being authentic. And I'm usually like, F my feelings. This is just 4 days. And it's family. So I'm on uneven ground here, but it just feels like 4 days for your family. It shouldn't be that big a deal.
Four days is a long time. I'm here to tell you right now.
Yeah,
it is. Especially with a large dog and you have two birds, and then you're factoring in like the wife's best friend is now coming, who I'm going to assume you don't know. And you feel this, you're going to be literally pinging with anxiety for 4 days straight, trying to make sure everybody is well taken care of and your parents are going to be chicken dinner for the dog.
So I understand that, you know, like bringing in friends to stay there also, but the family, don't you have like a sense of duty to your family? Like for 40? 4 days?
I don't feel like you do, not in this situation. If I have a type of relationship with my sisters that I feel like I would have with my brother in this situation, I would be authentic. And I don't think I would do it simply for the fact that you didn't ask. That's the part that would rub me the wrong way. For you to just tell me you're bringing a friend, I would have been cool with the dog. Something about saying you're also going to bring your best friend for me would have been like, I think you're going to need a hotel.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. The family, sure, but the extras, no. So if I were in this situation, I'd be like, your friend, the dog's not coming and your friend's in a hotel. Mm-hmm. You guys are still invited, but you're not tacking on extra people. And honestly, as family, I would explain that I'm having anxiety over it and it's a lot going on. And then if they poo-pooed that, well, then I'm poo-pooing them coming into my house.
Abby is now entering the do-it-alone era of her life.
Yeah, I'm in my do-it-alone era, which sounds just a lot better than nobody wants to hang out with me. No, I'm just kidding. I've come to this scary realization that I really like being alone. Like, I enjoy the company of others. I really value my friendships. But I really enjoy doing things on my timeline. I like going where I want to go, doing what I want to do, drinking what I want to drink, eating what I want to eat. It's lovely. And so now I don't really think I would want to go on a solo vacation, because I know you've talked to me about how great it is.
Uh-huh. Like everything you just mentioned is the exact same on a solo vacation, except you're somewhere different and everything is so new.
I know, but again, like I said, I'm a single woman. Every day is a solo vacation. I am vacationing away from the company of others. Like, and so over the last couple of weeks, I've noticed that I've just stepped out of my comfort zone and done a lot of things I would typically do with other people by myself. I went and I saw the new film.
Were you confident enough? Because when I first started going to movies by myself, I would play the game like I would look over my shoulder like somebody was, I was waiting on somebody to come and sit next to me and stuff. Oh, it looks like, and then the movie would start and I'd be alone, but I wanted everybody to know like I wasn't there alone. No. I'm just waiting for somebody to show up. That's all.
You make it look like you guys stood up when you do that.
Yeah. I think that's that backfired.
I don't think that's the look you want to go for.
Honestly, I didn't want anybody to sit next to me. So like when the gaggle of tween girls came next to me, I'm like, they're not going to appreciate this movie like I did. So they're just going to talk through it. And they did. But I got to enjoy it, you know, by myself, almost. I went to a bar that I really wanted to go to. I've never been to this bar because it's not the typical vibe where if I was going to go out with friends, I would want to go. It's very low key. It has like a dark academia vibe. It's not the kind of place you would take the girlies.
I have found if I go to a bar by myself and I sit at the bar, at least traveling mostly, that people notice you're alone and they want to come up and they want to start creating conversation, which was a problem in Brazil because they don't speak English. Because I wanted to talk to people at the end of the night and couldn't. But that's, I think that almost gravitates people towards you.
I don't know why, but of all of the places that I go by myself, I never feel uncomfortable going anywhere except the bar. That's just the one place that I still, to this day, cannot go by myself.
Really?
I love it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like going out and eating alone, either sitting at a table and eating alone or sitting at a bar and eating alone. I did it just a couple weeks ago. Just sat at the bar, got a glass of wine, a nice steak salad, and it was glorious.
I'm with you. I love it, man.
Oh, it was glorious.
It was great, but I will say I did have a little bit of anxiety because I think I looked like I was waiting for somebody because and the waiter and the bartender kept coming up to me and being like, are you waiting on someone? Do you need the second menu? I'm like, no, nobody is coming. And thankfully, the restaurant bar ended up filling up to where people started sitting next to me and it started to look a little bit more normal. And then after the first glass of wine, I was like, all right, I'm cruising.
I don't think people even really notice.
They don't.
I really don't. Like I think look at ourselves like we're the sort of center of our own universe, obviously, right? But most people don't even notice.
Yeah, they didn't. And so I had a really good time, got to check it out. I also took a road trip to a part of town I hadn't seen yet, got in my car, put on my favorite playlist, did a little drive down, got some pictures for my iPhone, and I just got to go and not have to worry about whether or not somebody was enjoying themselves or whether or not I had to make small talk with a new friend. It was just very relaxing. Got to take myself down there and get some good photos. And I think one of the reasons this exercise was good for me is I was revisiting an episode I had done on my podcast with a therapist where I had been asking her about something completely unrelated about like self-confidence and self-worth, because that's a topic that really comes up when people are going through breakups where they're like, I stayed in this relationship because my self-worth was so bad. So I asked her, I'm like, how do you build self-confidence and self-worth? And she said, well, that's very complicated, but an exercise you could do today if you wanted to turn off the podcast and work on it is to go spend a day by yourself and just admire how you see the world through your own eyes. So to me, I'm like, this was a really great exercise in working on becoming less desperate and and just enjoying my own company and really appreciating the way that I see the world, but without having to rely on somebody else to enrich it.
Now, the next step, I think, if you really want to push this, is don't do a solo vacation, but do a solo weekend.
A solo weekend. Okay.
Maybe even a long weekend, but just go somewhere by yourself for a weekend.
I think you will absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're like weaning yourself into something more ambitious, but just go somewhere for, or just a night even.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
So I'm worried now that I'm going to enjoy being alone so much that the thought of bringing anybody into it is like, no, I actually really love these solo vacations. I don't need you.
That's where it leads to. Trust me. That's exactly where you're going. The Burt Show.